What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey everyone, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know there are two live events I'll be at coming up very, very soon. July 27th, the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. I am hosting a roundtable discussion on stage. If you want to see that roundtable discussion and be part of the environment, you want to be at the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference on July 27th. Also, in Charlotte on August 1st, I'll be on a discussion panel talking about what it takes to create content and media in today's world at the Armed Media Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina on August 1st. You can get tickets to both those events. Links are in the description of this episode. And lastly, go ahead and check out Free the Rabbits' new podcast on Merkle Media. That's Free the Rabbits, hosted by Joel Thomas. Go ahead, hit subscribe on YouTube, your podcast playing apps, and give it a listen.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small, gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows every week, we got you covered. Be a member to The Confessionals. You can do it either on the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, and you get access to all the extra content right there on the website and on the members app. Or if you're on YouTube and you just want to have all your stuff right there on YouTube, we got you covered. Become a member on YouTube and you can get yourself all the extra content when you join the Portal Jumpers level on YouTube. All right, friends, listen, We have MerkMerch.com. I'm wearing one of the shirts right now, the Bigfoot Always on the Hunt t-shirt. It is the most popular shirt we are offering, and you can get yours at MerkMerch.com. That is Merkel Media's own apparel line. Go ahead and check it out, MerkMerch.com, for all your apparel needs. And if you want to check out our documentaries, go to MerkelFilms.com. That's MerkelFilms.com. And you can watch all our documentaries right there on demand. Go ahead and check it out. Links are in the description of this episode. All right, today we have Eric Mantel coming on the show, and he is a paranormal investigator who comes from Southeast Pennsylvania, the same area I moved away from. We had a great time having a conversation about Lee Hample's farm. He went and investigated it, and he had some action on the property. We talk about that, and we also talk about his experiences in the Pine Barrens with Bigfoot and all this stuff that he investigates. So let's get to Eric and his wild journeys right now. All right, today we have Eric Mantel on the show. Eric, how are you, sir?
Tony, I'm doing awesome. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for having me.
So, I'm glad you're here. And we have missed each other for some time now. And it's a shame because we both come from the Philadelphia area.
Yep.
And you've been there a long time. I'm here, or I was there. And I knew about you years ago. It's just one of those things where, and it's a common thing in my life, where I know about people, but it's another thing to remember to reach out to those people.
Yeah, yeah, no. And that's the funny thing too, because I think one of your guests was talking about me, and then it kind of like reignited, oh, I got to, reach out to him. And, and that's how it works. I mean, the paranormal community is a very small community. So we've all got to, reach out to each other, and it's kind of build that community more and more. And now I'm glad we got a chance to connect here, because I know you're doing so many great things out there. And I said, when I first saw you, I said, oh, I've got to reach out to this guy. He's doing some really cool things. He would love to hear about what happened to us out in Elkhorn and a lot of the other things that we've got going on. So yeah, it's, it's amazing. And, 30 years now, I think this is my 31st year as a, believe it or not, professional jazz musician. And we've performed all over the country. We played at the White House twice for President Clinton in 1998 and then Obama in 2011. And we've been at the Kennedy Center over 10 times, the United Nations. So we're doing things like that. But also, we do a lot of tours and performing in colleges, universities, libraries, churches, you name it, jazz clubs, but have always loved the paranormal. And and like you, we're both like-minded in this realm where, there's stories to be told. And it always boggles my mind that people have no clue what's in their own backyard, So that's why I wanted to start this TV show. And originally it was called Bucks County Paranormal Investigations, because, a lot of the stories we were doing here in Bucks County. But then we started traveling, and I didn't want to pigeonhole it just to Bucks County. So we call it Eric Mantel Investigates, and we started that in 2016. And I'll tell you, Tony, man, some of the stories and some of the things that we've captured on video, and I have to say right off the bat, I go into a lot of these investigations on the skeptical side. I really want to see what's going on there. What is going on? Like, especially in the ghost situation, is it pipes in the basement that are heating up, making those noises, or is it an animal on the roof making those sounds, or somebody out on the street, they're hearing this disembodied voice. But having said that, and then having captured what we've actually captured on video, I'm a real firm believer that there's a real thin veil from here to there, and at the end of the day, I always say people are seeing something. And it's fascinating to me. And
yeah.
And this event that happened to us in Elkhorn, we're still wrapping our heads around.
Yeah. I mean, is Elkhorn Lee Hample's property?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. So, first of all, people can check out your YouTube channel, which is Eric Mantel Investigates. And then you also have your website as well, which is EricMantelInvestigates.org. So
yes.
I just want to make sure I dropped that in the beginning so people understood.
Thank you.
So that's how you and I kind of circled back around to this because I knew of Bucks County, the Bucks County, what was it called again? Bucks County
Investigations. Paranormal Investigations, yeah.
That's what it was. I remember that's where I first saw you.
Okay, cool.
And I never got around to it. So I'm glad you brought that up. But Lee Hample is somebody who at the time of this recording, the world hasn't heard on my show yet. Now, they will before they hear you. And Lee and I were talking and he brought you up several times, whether it was off air or I think on air too. And that's what brought this whole thing around. Now, Lee's property,
amazing.
Let's just get into it because
yeah.
I haven't been there yet. I plan on going, but what was your experiences there, man?
Oh, dude, I was like, you know, here's the whole thing in a nutshell. Long story short, a really great friend and fan of ours, Ellen Collins, she loves what we do. And she said to me, she's like, you know what? You guys should do a video on the Beast of Bray Road. And I had heard about it over the years. I didn't really put too much into it, but I knew it was like a dog man. It was like an upright canine. And I said, well, that would be phenomenal. I would love to do that. I said, there's only a couple of things. Like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get out there? And who's going to pay for it? Like, who's going to pay for the editing and all that kind of stuff? So Ellen, she paid the whole freight. She paid everything. So we really thank her for that. And so this was October 2nd of 2021 through the 4th. And we went out. And prior to this, though, and how this whole came about was amazing because I had seen Lee. He was on a show called Paranormal Declassified on the Travel Channel. And for whatever reason, I mean, he looked like a very approachable guy, very down to earth, which he is. and I was like, I'm going to give this guy a call. I'm going to see if we could do something on his, you know, get an investigation going on his property. Well, that night of the TV show, I called Lee and I told him that I just saw him. We were on the phone for 2 hours talking about all the activity that he's got going on. And he was sending me pictures of the five-toed, seven-pad tracks, incredible stuff. So that was fascinating in its own right. And the hair samples that were under the microscope, they're absent of the medulla, they're translucent. So I had said to Lee, can we do something on your property? He was absolutely on board with everything. So I told Ellen this, and this was, I think, that was December of 2020 that I talked to Lee. And then it wasn't until October of 2021 that we got it together. And when we got out there, man, I mean, we went out and first met Lee's brother, Fred, who was phenomenal guy, told us all about how he wasn't into the paranormal or anything like that. Didn't think anything was going on until Lee told Fred, look, I saw something on my property here. Hey, I'm afraid to go back in my field, you know, down there because of what I saw. Next day, Fred, they set up trail cams and all kinds of stuff. And then they saw all these square tracks. But talking with Fred was phenomenal because here's a guy that's he's unbiased, even though it's his brother. He didn't think anything was going on initially, but then they found these square tracks. And then all of this weird phenomena was going on where Lee is putting in the trail cam. You see Lee puts a deer, a roadkill deer over into this area called the bait area. And you'll see that area when you get over there. And in this one picture, this is phenomenal, man. He's got the one picture. He has this, you see the deer, and then you see this black mist coming over the deer. And it's clear day. Well, in the next picture, which they're, 30 seconds timed apart, the deer's gone and so's the mist. So in that of an instant, it was gone the same day. So, but he's had all kinds of different activity going on, UFOs going through the woods, orbs in the field. So, but when we got out there, it was amazing because, it was me, Dominic Sattell, my team member. He's also a spirit medium. This is completely out of his wheelhouse. He's a spirit medium. He's not hunting cryptids, but we took him out there because we wanted to see what are the, psychokinetic, you know, activities of this area, you know, and he was picking up on all kinds of weird energy out there. And then it was Ellen was in it. I put her in it and also made her the executive producer because why not? She paid for the whole thing. So she was
literally, that's what she is. She is the executive producer.
And she's awesome. I mean, she was incredible to work with. And she did a lot of research on, the tapetum lucidum, you know, the eye glow, the eye shine, and how this creature could have this like intense energy that people are seeing these red glowing eyes. Especially that's what Lee said he saw. When you talk to him, I'm sure you know, he saw these red glowing eyes that, you know, they were just looking right at him and then jumped about 15 feet in the air and disappeared. And we had the similar things happen. So the day that we went down, it was during the day, this was October 2nd, I believe it was, we were doing some reconnaissance in the field and Lee was showing us all around where he's had all this activity. So Ellen's son, Scott, was with us. He was on camera and he builds high-end drones. So he had the drone going over top of us in Lee's field. Well, in Lee's field over by that bait area, we disappeared off of Scott's screen. It was like he wears those virtual reality glasses. Yeah. And we digitally disappeared off of his screen in this one area. So that told me right there, and he had to lift the glasses up to, and we were there. But he couldn't see us digitally through the screen. So there was something blocking there, that area. So with that, we're like, no, he was freaked out with that. That was the first electronic disturbance that we had. And then the rest of the investigation was just off the chart. I mean, it's like we hit the paranormal lottery. It was incredible. The night of the investigation, it was October 3rd. I will never forget it. We started in Lee's barn because Lee showed us the rest of his pictures that he has. I mean, he's got thousands and thousands of pictures of this, you know, you could see this like hairy, like chest of something up close to the camera. He's got this one picture, which is really fascinating, which it's in the middle of the daytime, but you see these orbs in the sky. And inside the orb, it looks like it's like a cross. They're a T, like it's something. But it looks like a creature in there. You could say, you know, for all intents and purposes, maybe that's the creature. But it looked like things inside this orb. So, and it was in the middle of the daytime. And then these hair samples and then some of the other stuff he has, it was just like, our minds were blown. So I had said to Lee, I said, Lee, can we do an investigation in the field back there? You know, and it's a 35-acre hayfield. And he was like, oh, absolutely. No problem. Please do, but be careful out there. I said, okay, no problem. So we took the four wheelers that he had because it's a pretty much of a hike to get out to this area. And if you guys could picture this, the field that we're in, when you'll get out there when you see this, he's a hay farmer. So it's a hay field. So the hay was down where he's cultivating the hay. So that was all gone, but there was still corn up very high, like probably 10 feet high and on either side of this field. So it's like a big rectangle of corn on either side of us. And it's all open in the middle. So we're over here in this bait area and, Scott had some GoPros set up. He had, and Lee had the trail cams down there. And I'll get to that later because that was just another thing that was crazy. So Scott was having trouble with the GoPro because, he could not get it connected for whatever reason down there. It was just not being able to be connected. So that was one of the things that we had too. We thought we'd actually have to scrub the investigation because it started getting cloudy and it looked like it was going to rain. And while we were in Lee's barn, and so, but we get out to the middle of the field where he's got this area and it completely cleared up. It was totally clear as a bell, which made Dominic look up and go, what the hell is that? And here, there was a solid orb of light going over the field, like just, you know, a UFO. You could see other planes around it, you know, but this solid orb of light going slowly and then gaining speed going over the field. And we're looking at this and we're still trying to figure out what the hell is this thing? Because we looked later, there was no satellites, there was no space station, nothing like that. And we're looking at this thing and all of a sudden it does a 45-degree angle and blinks out. And we were like, what? And we were like, oh my God, it's gone. Then right after that, The second thing that happened was, so we're standing in that bait area. We hear a howl in the distance, very far away. Dominic and I look at each other like, and then we hear a second one getting closer. Then, and definitely not coyote howls. And this was not a coyote, not a wolf, nothing like that. The third howl. So Dominic on the second howl says to Ellen, who was just kind of like standing there. And she goes, Dominic goes, are you hearing this howl? And she goes, yeah, it's coming from over that way. And with that, the third howl, this thing made a scream that sounded like, it sounded like a man screaming in this field. We were in this low guttural scream, growl, yell combination. It was so loud. And Tony, we had these little lavalier Cinco microphones on our lapels here. It was louder on site, but it was that loud that it picked it up with that. We didn't have any kind of high tech audio either. You know, this is a very bare bones investigation. What we had, and we had no protection either. We had no, you know, we had a flashlight and a radio. That was it, you know?
Are you hearing this howl?
I am hearing this howl. It's coming from over that way.
Oh, sh**.
Fuck.
Uh-oh.
That's getting closer.
Well, we heard this thing and we were like, what the hell is that? And the fear factor was there. It was like, but I was like, more like, what are we hearing? What is this? What are we hearing? And Dominic said, shine the light over that way. So we shine the light over into the corn and we shine the light over there. And sure enough, you could see two yellow eyes going like this.
Really?
In the corn about 7 feet up, because the thing's supposed to be 6 to 7 foot tall. And it's going like this through the corn, like looking at us. And I know, because you could see farm lights in the distance, and it was not that. These were completely closer to us. And because I looked at that footage a lot, and I'm like, oh my God. And you could see this thing just going like this, back and forth. And then I don't know why I didn't do this before, but just recently I listened to those howls on headphones. I never really did that before. I don't know why I didn't do that, but I just recently listened to that. And on the second howl, there was a growl that was very close to us. That was closer than, I mean, we didn't hear it when we were there, but there was something there right next to us, which, I mean, we were pretty much in like, we could have been in imminent danger right there. And then we heard the third howl. And then I saw the eye shine. I said, let's get the hell out of here. I said, because, you know, it's like, your safety is more important than an investigation. And we got on those four wheelers and we beat feet out of there, man. It was like, it was insane. So, and then looking at the video, it's clear as I mean, you could, we didn't see the physical creature, but we heard it. And we saw those, mm-hmm. And we saw the eye shine. You know, and I'm not going to say that we saw the physical creature because we didn't. But we did see the eye shine. We heard the howls. And then, Tony, another weird thing, man, a weird mist came up from the field that we were in right after that. And that's been associated with Bigfoot sightings, too, this mist. So I'm wondering, is this Bigfoot out there? Could it have been a Bigfoot? You know, I don't know. But so that happened. And then later on, the entire town of Elkhorn lost power. That night. This was an insane investigation. I mean, like I said, we hit the lottery that night. And again, I was going out not thinking that we'd see anything. I was going out with this mindset of like, oh, we're going to have a great investigation. We're going to hear some great stories, never thinking once that we'd actually encounter this thing.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we're in this, like, I'm in the same boat. I don't know about everybody else that's on my team, but like, I don't ever expect anything to happen. And
yeah,
every time I don't expect something to happen, something happens.
Happens. Exactly. I think, you know, and it's not a conscious thing. I think that's the mindset. I think if you go in with a conscious mindset of like, hey, you know, we're going to see something tonight, it's probably not going to happen. You know, and we're all about, and like you are, we're all about that truth-based investigating. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all of that because we want to tell those stories and really kind of tell people, look, this is what happened. We're not using like, you know, in the ghost investigations and stuff, we're not using like spirit boxes or anything like that, or, you know, REM pods or anything. But, you know, I'm utilizing Dominic's gifts, you know, and he's usually 95%, 99% spot on with a lot of the activity that goes on. But so in the hotel, the next day, you could see the lights were blinking, you know, to try to come back on from the power. And in my hotel room, I brought a stick back with me from Lee's property. I must have been on my boot. And I showed it to Dominic. He's like, you brought it back with you, didn't you? So, and I mean, so we're still wrapping our heads around that. But Tony, we did a follow-up. Again, Ellen came through for us again. We did a follow-up in April of 2022. Went right back to Elkhorn. And this time we did not experience it. We did not encounter it that time. We did another investigation, big investigation in the field. Nothing. And the weather was not really cooperative either. So it was not a good time of year. But we didn't encounter it. But what we did have is we had a town hall meeting that we set up the day that we got in. Over 140 people showed up to tell their story about seeing this creature. And they all described the same thing of how it walks on two legs. It looks like it's gliding. And then when it's on all fours, it's really fast. And this was like dozens of people told us the story. And, you know, and it's amazing. And, you know, the thing is, in the investigation, back to Lee for when we did the investigation, he had the trail cam on. The next day, Lee says, you know what? The trail cam was not working last night. It didn't work. It looked like it shut off at 5 o'clock. That's when we got out there. And then it didn't turn on the next day until 7 o'clock. So it's like something turned it off. And then I had baited that area earlier in the day with steak bones that we had the night before. And so, you know, hoping to lure something in there. Well, those bones were gone. And that could have been whatever that took those. But, you know, people want to say, well, you know, why did you guys stay out there longer? You know, I wasn't going to mess with that, man. I'm like, you know, who knows what would have happened, you know?
When that happens, call the psychos of Merkle Media in, because we're freaking nuts, man. Like like we do the stupidest stuff out there. Cause we're just like, it's like when you, when we get like, I don't know, maybe like 100-mile radius away from our wives, we turn into like little boys it's like, oh, we're immortal. We can do anything we want.
Right.
All responsibility goes out the window.
Oh yeah.
But let me ask you. So this whole thing's fascinating to me. And I think that there, from my perspective, there's probably a lot more than just a dog man type creature involved here. I mean, you guys for yourselves saw UFO orb in the broad daylight. Lee talks about all this other phenomenon.
Portals.
Don't get me started. You just said the magic word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Don't show me a portal, because if you show me a portal, it's a good time to me. Like, but do you think that when it comes to, let's just stay on the property itself. Let's not go broad with the topic.
Right.
But with the property itself, do you feel like Dogman, the UFOs, the orbs, the portals, you even mentioned about Bigfoot briefly. Do you feel that the phenomenons are tangled together, intertwined? Do you feel like this is a one location where all these separate categories merge separately at the same spot, if that makes any sense?
Absolutely makes sense. Yeah. And I would say yes. I mean, that's the property itself is either there's portals all over the world. And I think Lee's property is one of those areas where this thing is coming in somewhere in our reality. It's coming in and out of some kind of dimension. You know, and it sounds way out there to even say that. But, you know, in this day and age that we're in right now, I think people are open to that, because yes, people are experiencing all of these weird phenomena. And I mean, look at the government saying, hey, you know, folks, the UFOs you're seeing over the years are real. We just don't know what they are. So at least that conversation has started. But that property,
can we just call bull on that though? I mean, we don't know what they are. Bull. Okay.
Yeah.
You just don't want to tell us.
That's true.
All right, go ahead.
True. Yeah, that's true. True. There's a lot. Oh my God. There's so much more going on that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But that property is something. And this is what I thought was that here we saw that orb going over, like the UFO. And in Lee's pictures, he's got the orbs during the day that look like they've got that creature inside. I'm thinking to myself, could this thing have deposited these things as it was going over? You know, yes. I don't know. I mean, that was one theory. And then, you know, here's another weird thing that happened. So Ellen had a dream after this that she said that the dog man put its claw in her hand, like, and it showed her why it's there, why it's here, what it's doing there. And the weird thing is Lee had the same similar kind of dream, which was very fascinating to me. So there's some kind of connection going on there. And let me say this, Lee is such a classy guy, man. And he had no interest in the paranormal whatsoever. You know, when he bought the farm, he didn't know about it until his neighbor said, oh yeah, there's a creature rolling around on your property over there. But Lee was a math teacher, you know, in 35 years math teacher in Wakanda, Illinois. And, you know, he's a science guy. You know, he wants to look at this scientifically. And that's, I think the whole perplexing thing is there's no definitive answer because it defies all the laws of logic, you know?
Yeah.
But there is some kind of weird, there's definitely an energy on that property. And I know when you get out there, I mean, and Lee's property is really only about 0.2 miles from Bray Road.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did the drone footage, we noticed huge cutouts in the corn going over from Bray Road, going over Lee's property, and then crossing Bray Road to go over to the quarry area. So we're thinking maybe it's in the quarry. Maybe it's living in the quarry. We were going to try to get in there. We were going to try to get to the quarry, but we can't. I don't think we could get in there. But yeah, I know, right?
I am loving this.
Yeah, I mean, but Tony, this is what happens to us every time we go out there. I mean, within 15 minutes, stuff happens. And I always say that it's Dominic is the magnet with this stuff because he's tuning in on something and things are trying to speak to him. We were just up in Connecticut doing an investigation and video for the Old Lyme Inn. And we were out there for Sunday and Monday. It was an overnight. But Saturday, he's getting visions of this entity that's at the top of these stairs at the inn that's angry and that doesn't like the way things are run there. So I had no idea about any of this stuff. So I talked to the owner that next day when I'm interviewing her. She blurts out that, oh yeah, there's an angry spirit here that's been seen at the top of the stairs and doesn't like the way things are run in the kitchen. And there's nothing online about that anywhere. So it's amazing to me how these guys tune into this. I don't have that ability. I don't have that where, you know, we go into a lot of these places. So what I'll do is I'll get a lot of the history from a lot of these places, from the owners and any of the paranormal history, and then keep it to myself until we get to the location and see what they're tuning into. And we've worked with Dominic and also this other great medium. She's a psychic medium, Julie Krause. She's amazing. But yeah, it's the whole thing is fascinating out there at Lee's property, man. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a quarry. I didn't know anything about the quarry and, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows?
Oh, I had a state worker who didn't want to be known on camera, but he called, I think it was a couple of days after we got home, it was the day, I think while we were still out there, I talked to him. And the day before our investigation, during the day, him and a coworker had to fix a power line. They out on Bray Road, and they heard all this howling and all these screams going on right in the middle of the daytime. So, and he, the way he described, he's like, I take like a wild pig sound. And so it's monotone. It doesn't pitch. And that's exactly what we heard. It was this monotone scream, growl, yell. It didn't pitch, It wasn't a coyote, like a coyote cackle. There's no way it's that. And we went through everything too. We went through like fox sounds, owl, screech owls, all kinds of elk, all kinds of different things. We couldn't find anything that matched this thing. And I sent you I think I sent you a clip of that, which was just, I mean, it blew our minds.
Wow. Wow.
And Lee couldn't believe we were back. We were only out there like a half hour, like 45 minutes tops. That was it. Then we hightailed it back there. He was like, man, you're back so early. I said, yeah, well, because of this.
That's wild. I'm getting all juiced up for this property again. I didn't expect to get this excited about it, but man, you are telling me some amazing stuff here. Let me ask you about this dream scenario. Your team and your team member, I can't remember her name. Was it Ellen?
Ellen.
So Ellen has this dream. Lee had a similar dream. Do you remember the details of the dream?
Well, she said to me that that it put its claw in her palm of her hand like that, and basically showed her why this thing is there to procreate the species. And that's really probably what was the extent of the dream. And Lee was then, he told me a similar story about he had a dream about this thing on his property. And I can't exactly remember what the entire dream was about, but it was a similar kind of thing, like why it was there.
Hmm.
So
yeah. What do you make of that? So I look at dreams much more serious these days than I did 7 years ago when I first started this. When somebody would say to me, I had a dream, I'm like, good for you. Yeah. Next, you know, not that interested. Yeah. But I was immature, didn't understand some of the things I understand now. So you have a team member who has a dream about Dogman. You thought enough of it to bring it up. Do you feel like there's actual substance there to that dream outside of just her imagination while she's sleeping?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I do, because I mean, it warranted the fact that why did she have this dream? You know, why I brought it up is because in the dream, she was basically frozen. She was frozen looking up at this creature. And for the split second that if you look at the video where Dominic's trying to talk to Ellen and say, are you hearing this howl? You could see Ellen's kind of like just looking up, you know, in the video. So could it be some kind of thing that actually did happen? We just didn't know. It happened so quick to her, and it wasn't even in our reality. You know,
so she wasn't actually in bed sleeping when this happened?
She's saying that it happened right then and there. When
really?
In the dream, when we were in the field. She's saying it was like, it was almost like an episode of Missing Time.
So you're saying she had a dream about being in the field and it happening there.
Right.
And when you're actually in the field and she was on video, she was almost like in a daze looking up.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why, and that's why I said, well, there's got to be maybe something to this, because if it was a dream, right, you know, dreams, and I'm like, okay, dreams are dreams, you know, it's like sometimes they don't really mean anything. It's the subconscious saying, you know, seeing something that you just saw before you went to bed, you know. But in that case, she's saying that she's on the property, we're on the investigation right then and there. And when Dom and I are trying to look at the UFO, she's being told what's going on, why this thing is here. And that's why we said, and it looks like she's just kind of like in this daze. After we're hearing these howls, she's just in this daze over there. And then when Dominic asked her, it kind of brought her out of it then to say, yeah, it's coming from over there. So
that's really interesting. It makes you wonder, go down sci-fi route with me. It makes you wonder if that experience that she had in her dream was just a recall of what happened actually there, and you guys,
right? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what I was thinking, mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's important, you know. And the dream scenario, and it's just like something that happened right there. It's like, you know, alien abductions, right? People don't, they're not experiencing that right then and there. They're experiencing it later on through a dream sequence or something like that. And they're, you know, shrugging it off to like, oh, it's a dream, but it's something that actually happened to them, you know? And look, I'm with even with the alien abductions, like I'm like maybe there's four or five, six cases tops that are really legitimate cause for looking into, you know, but some of the other ones are kind of like, you know, people would jump on the bandwagon. But, you know, I can't really even say that because people are having these experiences. So I really can't. I'm pretty good at discerning the BS from the truth, you know, and when somebody's telling me a story and their voices are cracking, they're getting very emotional. There's something that happened to them that is so emotionally and psychologically damaging that you have to really look at that and say, wow, there's something going on here. Yeah. You know, and Tony, in our research, I'm finding now that I don't know how you feel about this, but I think that we're finding that people who are having these experiences are picked to have these experiences, whether it's UFOs, ghosts, whatever. Or it could even be generational. It could be in the families for years, you know, that people have had these experiences in families over the years. Because you know how it is. It's like you could be standing there, you could see a UFO right there, and the person standing next to you does not see it, or a ghost or whatever. You know, they're not tuned in on that, you know, and maybe their antenna's a little bit more attuned to these, you know, occurrences. So that part, the whole paranormal genre is fascinating to me. And
yeah,
there's a serious connection going on there.
When I was in Pennsylvania still at the Pottstown house, my dad and I were, I believe we were actually moving some stuff out of the house, if I remember correctly, because I was prepping to move. And we were going out through the basement door up around the side of the house. And him and I were outside and there was like this UFO. There was a light in the sky that didn't belong. Let's put it that way. I didn't see an object. It was a light. And I've never seen it there before. And it was very, very bright. And he saw it too. And we're standing there looking at it. And I said to my dad, do you see how it's shooting off these rays of light down? And he said, no, I don't see. What do you, all he saw was a bright light. And I saw this radiating light of shooting beams of light down.
Wow.
And I told this story on the show before, and people have emailed saying that they think I have, what's the medical condition with your eyes? The, I don't want to say glaucoma.
You see, it's the night vision kind of thing where you're, the halos and things like
that. Yeah. Yeah. But the problem with that is it's never happened before or since, you know, like it was a one-off. And so that's kind of what you said there. It reminded me of that, where I had that experience where my dad and I are looking at a light in the sky, but we're seeing it very, very differently.
Right.
And there's other people who have had experiences with alien, not abduction per se. Maybe it was an abduction, but alien interaction where there's two people and they see, one person sees an alien standing in front of them.
Right.
And another person sees a giant owl standing in front of them.
Right.
They both have this the experience, but it's like these screen memories that are picked for individual people.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Here's the other thing. And maybe that's a way of them not frightening these people too much by giving them the owl to look at, where it's not going to be as frightening, you know? Maybe they figured out how to manipulate the mindset, you know, that way. Yeah, owl aliens. That's another thing that we're looking into. Because
have you talked to Mike Cleland?
No.
I'll send you his information if you're looking into it. Because Mike Cleland, all you gotta do is look it up. Just look up Mike Cleland. He is the owl guy.
Okay,
and
cool.
He's been really making a lot of connections with this. He's written several books about it.
Okay, cool.
He might be a good resource for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in a week, you know, we're talking about UFOs. We just had a huge UFO flap here over Bucks County back in last year. So in January of 2023, like toward the end of 2022 and pretty much all of 2023, I was getting reports from people seeing this low, brightly lit, large, silent object just hovering over Bucks County. And sending me drawings of what it looks like too. A woman said she was closing the blinds in her window and she would enter a guest room and she looked out and sees this thing floating. And it was just completely like brightly lit, no sound. Prior to this, I would say this was around April of 2021. I had gotten a message from a woman in, also in Doylestown, right here in Bucks County. She woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, and COVID was still happening at that point too. Not a lot of people were out. Not a lot of businesses were open. But she lives over by what it's called Lake Galena. It's a Peace Valley Park. It's a beautiful lake, man-made lake over there. Well, she gets up in the night and sends video of what she's seeing, and here all of these brightly lit like twinkle lights over the lake, and they're moving. They're hovering and then moving slightly, stopping, moving. And there must have been like 30 or 40 of them just hovering there over the lake. And I was thinking, well, could it have been Starlink satellites? But you know what? It wasn't that, because those Starlink satellites are in a straight line and they keep moving. Yeah. So these things, I'll send you the video, Tony. I got to send you that. You will freak out when you see that. So she's like, she's looking out the window and she goes outside and she's like, I am seeing this. And she takes video and it's a phenomenal. So that was April of 2021. And that was over this lake. And I even asked the park rangers there if they ever saw any lights or anything at night. Of course, they didn't say yes or no, but they said, no, we haven't seen anything here like that. So
what color were the lights?
They're all bright white.
Bright white. That's interesting. I'm getting in my head. This is way off topic, but every time I say I think about it, because I'm trying to cut my uhs out. So if there's a pause after the uhs, because I'm thinking about it.
Oh yeah, we all know about editing the uhs out, right?
Yeah. Well, I refuse to do it. So that's why I'm trying to do it now. But so there's somebody that's in the Philadelphia area. I don't know where this happened, but there was a stream of purple, bright purple lights that looked like you're not in your head. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I remember this. Yeah.
It happened, I think, just recently. They came down and went into the water, into some kind of water body in the Philly area.
That was the strangest thing. It looked like a snake of lights.
Yes.
And
it
looked like this snake of lights. It went down into the water and then it came back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird. It's like, what are they testing the water? You know, that was so weird. So that, you know, and I was looking at that too, and I'm thinking, you know, in this age of CGI and AI, you know, it's hard sometimes with a lot of stuff with the UFO stuff. It's all, a lot of stuff's fake out there because, you know, they're putting a lot of stuff out. But that was something that video was really perplexing. Because I was like, no, this doesn't look like it was faked. This is something weird going on here. I myself had another UFO sighting in 2016. My girlfriend and I, right over here, you know, New Hope, Pennsylvania? Do you remember New Hope? So right outside of New Hope is this area called Center Bridge. There's a restaurant there. It's called Center Bridge Inn. And then there's a metal bridge that goes over the Delaware into Stockton, New Jersey. So we're going over. This is like February of 2016. And it's cold. It's a Wednesday night, I think, and it's cold out. And we're going over the bridge, and all of a sudden, like out of the corner of my eye, I see these five orange orbs just appear out of nowhere. And when they appeared, it looked like swirling lava when it came to be. And here they appeared, and in this like 5-10 second period, I'm trying to debunk it. I'm like saying to myself, "Well, there's a restaurant there. Could these be Chinese lanterns or something? Could they be, you know, could somebody be getting married and they just set lanterns off?" But no, it's the place was closed. It's a Wednesday night. No one's getting married and there weren't Chinese lanterns. So I was able to get one shot, but they appeared and then they did it like a little search pattern over the river. And then one by one, they just disappeared one by one. It was the weirdest thing. Definitely not flares or anything like that, because this is a populated area. But I was able to get one shot before it blinked out, and I'll have to send that one to you too, because it was, we still are wrapping our heads around that. And then later on, we've seen a lot of the UFO programs where we see the same thing. Those orange orbs appear out of nowhere, and then they appear, then they disappear. And then sometimes they're in groups of three, like a triangular formation.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, that's another fascinating subject I think also in 2008, we had another huge UFO flap here in Bucks County. that made UFO hunters on the History Channel, and a lot of people, I mean, thousands of people saw this thing.
So there, I have an episode called The Ben Salem Abduction or something like that. It was a woman in Ben Salem who had a very up close encounter with UFO.
Yep.
And weird things happening afterwards. I want to ask you, the people who've been sending you, you know, I guess sketches or whatever, what they're seeing, and you mentioned it being an object of types. Was it a triangle object that you that you're seeing?
It's just a ball of light. It looks like it's a spherical, like an oval shaped light with a lot of lights on it, oval shaped. Although that's not to say there have been, I've gotten video of a triangular formation, but not a craft. Just in February, I got those same orange orbs that I saw in Louisiana. It was a whole fleet of these things going over. I mean, there must have been 10 of them, and they just kept coming. And this woman that took the video, she was a complete skeptic when it came to anything like this. Now she's a believer. So, yeah, so those are the reports I get. They're just, it's like an oval-shaped object with a lot of lights on it, you know, but no solid craft.
So when I was driving truck for Pitt, Ohio, I was going down 276, going back to terminal. It was dark out, and I don't remember all the details. It's been years since this happened, but there was several nights and close together, whether it's a month or a week, I can't remember, but there were several nights where I saw the same thing in the sky, hovering in the sky while I'm driving down the turnpike. This was a, if I remember correctly, it was a bright light that I was approaching. And as I was going under it, because it was hovering, it wasn't getting away.
And it wasn't star. It wasn't a star.
You saw it coming for miles and you were catching up to it. And as I was going underneath it, I remember looking up and it looked like you could see the black outline of it. And it looked like, the only way I can describe was a check mark.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was like a drone or what, but it was very large and it was just hovering in the sky and it had three points of light on it. But it looked, the outline looked like a check mark.
Wow.
And I was in the Horsham area, and parts of me wonders, is that Air Force base actually really completely shut down, or is it shut down for, you know, public knowledge?
You know, Tony, here's the thing. You know, I was thinking the same thing. You know, why not hide something in plain sight?
Right.
Right. I was just, we could go on forever on that stuff, man. That's like, you know, I was thinking the same thing. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and maybe it was a triangular shaped craft too. You know, maybe it would look like a check mark, but I mean, you've got cubes now. People are seeing these translucent cubes. And then you're talking about cubes. And then you go back to the 1975 Carl Lingden UFO abduction in Wyoming, where he basically saw a cube in the forest. And this alien that was next to this cube. And so those reports are, they've been out there forever. It's just now that the public's interest is, you know, it's like, I know, right? I know we could go on forever. I mean, there's just so much going on that's now coming out, you know?
So this cube thing is very interesting because I don't know if you know who these people are. They call it the Meadow Project. It's a book that Trey Hudson had published. And Trey's been on the show. By the time this airs, Jessica Jones will have been on the show, and she's part of Trey's team. But they both talked on the show about a situation. They're researching a place that they call the Meadow. It's a meadow that they found that has a lot of weird things happening. And one night the team was out there researching, and they saw a cube on, I think, thermal imaging camera. You can't see with your naked eye, but you could see this cube in the meadow on thermal.
Wow.
They sent two of the team members down there to the cube who cannot see it with their own eyes. They're being guided in. I might not be telling it completely accurately, but you'll get the gist. They walk into the cube. And when they walk into the cube, they disappear off of camera. They still see the cube. And they said that when they walked into this area, because they can't see the cube with their eyes,
right,
the environment changed around them.
Oh, man.
And so that makes me feel like with, I think you said 1975 back in the 70s, that cube abduction, what if it's a similar thing where, you know, I'm calling it a portal cube, a cube portal. Well, what if this cube portal is an abduction device,
right?
A piece of technology that takes people from this reality and realm and places them somewhere else. Because what they described was the environment changed around them. Here's the crazy thing about that is, and it might be coincidence, and I'm not trying to make this any more than what it is, other than the fact that the two people who did that just a few years ago, I think it was, maybe more than a few years ago, but it's relatively recent, both of them have passed away.
Wow.
And one very recently. And so they encountered health issues after that.
Well,
makes me wonder though.
Yeah. And here's the thing that Carl, when he was taken, he had this is now we're talking the opposite. He had scarring in his lungs from pneumonia. When he was taken and brought back, the scarring was gone.
Really?
So he was healed. I also just had an interview with Reverend Michael Carter. You've probably seen him on Ancient Aliens. Mm-hmm. He had an alien encounter where one of the Nordics he had encountered, and Michael said he had a blood clot in his leg. Well, after this encounter, the blood clot completely cleared up. So who knows? I mean, it's like that whole subject is. Because, you know, if the whole environment is changing around you, then obviously your whole physiology is going to be changing around you as well. You know, and here's the other thing, Tony, and I have to mention this too before we stop here, but a week after we came back from Elkhorn, we went and did an investigation of Bigfoot in the New Jersey Pine Barrens. And, you know, people are saying, Bigfoot in the New Jersey Pine Barrens, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's there. Something is definitely there. You know, obviously, you know, we don't want to piss any Jersey people off, but they, you know,
do it.
You know, we have the Jersey Devil, right? But I always thought that the Jersey Devil might have been a misidentification of Bigfoot. So we went, this is a week after we came back from Elkhorn, we went down to the Pine Barrens and we met up with Eric Spinner, Bigfoot researcher. He's another guy that you could probably have on your show too. He's a great, great guy. Him and Art Mack is another researcher. And Eric's wife, Heather, and his daughter, Anastasia, was helping us film. And it was me and Dominic. And again, Dominic is like, this is completely out of his wheelhouse. So the night of this investigation, we wanted to basically see what those guys do as far as their research goes. So we set up base camp. We're 5 miles into the Pine Barrens. I mean, this is like, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we went in but 5 miles by truck and then about 600 yards into the woods in an area called the Bowl. And it just sounds like it is. It's like high on either side and it's low down in the middle here. And so we're down there. We set up base camp and Eric's going through all the protocols of what he does as far as how they, you know, tree knocks and wood knocks. And Art and Dominic are talking. And as Art is talking, we hear a whoop in the woods. Now, I have to say this, and whenever I've seen those Bigfoot programs and those guys are whooping and hollering, I always have to chuckle a little bit because I always say to myself, is this what they really sound like? And I'll be damned if that's not what we heard. So that my whole perception was changed. So we hear this whoop and we could hear it while we were sitting there. And Eric just happened to have this high powered audio going on at the same time. So we listened to that, and sure enough, man, there it is. You could hear it. And so Eric's wife decides to answer, you know, to get a call. So here she answers and she goes, whoop, like that. And right away, in the distance, you hear it coming back. And they were having a conversation. So the same thing. And whatever it was in the dark, but it was like, it was making the same sound as her.
It was at this point we had to cut Art's interview short. We all collectively heard a whoop coming from the woods. Eric's high-powered microphones picked it up.
Yes. Like any creature in the woods they made.
Eric's wife, Heather, decided to answer back and was getting vocalizations. They were having a conversation.
6 o'clock. All
right.
Keep in mind, we're 5 miles into the Pine Barrens.
Okay.
That could potentially be what...
Okay, so we're getting...
Patty was, you know...
Sounded like a juvenile.
It's a gentle whoop. I don't know, Art, what do you think?
We definitely got some...
We weren't here.
So we just got some unbelievable activity right now. Dom was just talking to Art, and we heard a slight...
That was her.
Oh, that was Heather.
Calling it. That was her.
And we got it all on video. That's called the Pine Barrens Bigfoot. And then we just did a follow-up on that one, too, called On the Watch for Squatch.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, but the activity down there is at an all-time high, man. If you ever get out here, we got to definitely go down there and do that.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll take you to the areas, man. Eric didn't think on this follow-up investigation, he didn't think we were going to get anything going on there because they had just had a big forest fires back in July of last year down in that area. And I mean, where we were, if the fire was going on, we would have been right in the middle of the fire. That's where it happened. As you could see, all the trees were all scorching and stuff. But on the follow-up, now this follow-up was just in September of last year, September 2nd. The first one was October 11th of 2021. This was September 2nd follow-up down at the Pine Barrens. Again, Art is talking. Art, unfortunately, is going through some cancer treatments now, so he's got to take medications and stuff like that. But to look at him, you wouldn't think that anything's wrong with him. But he's sitting there talking, and he's saying, "Hey, guys, I don't know if it's because of my medications or what, but my heart is really racing right now." And with that, we hear a branch crack behind us. We whip around the camera, and I see a branch just going like this, like something just hit it. And for 2 seconds, I saw two yellow eyes, 7 foot, boom, and then just disappeared. And then Eric and I could hear this thing running back into the swamp area. And nothing was on thermal, though. We could not see anything on thermal. And it probably was gone by that point. That freaked us out, man. That really jumped us up at that point. And I don't get that way, man. I'm like, you know, pretty calm. I'm a pretty calm guy when it comes to that kind of stuff. But that kind of freaked me out because here we are in the middle of nowhere. And Eric was thinking that we weren't going to get any activity. I said, man, it's really active still. So we couldn't find it. We didn't know what it was. There was no tracks. There was too much leaf litter. So we couldn't see any kind of like footprints or anything like that. But it was there. And you could definitely see the branch on the video that I, thank God she was able to whip around with a camera at that exact same time. And it was just amazing, man. And you know, here's the other thing. Check this theory out. So Dominic earlier in the day was talking with Art, and Dominic deduced that Art has some kind of connection with Bigfoot, whereas Sasquatch or Bigfoot is seeing through Art's eyes. Like he's seeing somehow through Art's eyes. And why was Art's heart racing? Maybe this thing was watching us. And that's why, you know, he was looking through Art at us. And I know that's a really out there kind of theory, but he was seeing like all kinds of weird auras around Art and, you know, and his mother, he saw it, his spirit of his mother was around Art. But all these different colors of this aura was around Art. But when he talked about his mom, it all changed to white. So this is what Dominic sees when he's talking to people. Some people, you know, not everybody, but, you know, he'll see these different auras. So there's some kind of connection Art has with this Bigfoot somewhere along the line. I don't know if you've ever had any kind of thing like that happen before, like, or anybody ever talk about that, but it's amazing.
Yeah, no. So this must have been my show because I don't consume a lot of paranormal this kind of conversation off my show because I do it so much.
Right. And
I got to keep working on other things. So
yeah. You got to stay sane.
I got to stay sane, but like, there's just so much stuff going on in the back end that, you know, just think of it this way. So the time that people spend listening to their favorite podcast, that's the time, think that time slot is now for my personal life is for my podcast. And
right.
So then everything on the back end has to get done when I'm not doing this.
Exactly.
So it must've been my show. I just have a bad memory on recalling who it was, but recently somebody was talking, must've been to me, about, I believe it was a dream. They were hiking, or somebody they knew was hiking through the woods, and they had this dream, and it was basically they were seeing through the eyes of a Bigfoot or something like that.
Wow.
That was watching them as they hiked through the woods. And so it's like this whole like shift of perspective, and it's definitely something to consider. I think the landscape for cryptozoology is changing dramatically and rapidly. When I first started looking into these things on a serious level back in 2015, I started really getting back into it because I was into it when I was a kid, but then, you know, life takes on.
Sure.
I would go to Bigfoot conferences, and I'll never forget the first time I went to a Bigfoot conference, one of the speakers, as a young man, you know, in my mid-20s, getting involved in this stuff, I'm looking at the speakers a lot differently than I do today. And I'm looking at the speakers, I'm like, this is a professional. This is somebody who really knows their stuff. You should listen to him and learn. And he's up there mocking and ridiculing anybody who has the woo mentality. And how just ridiculous it is to think that these things are anything other than hairy primates walking through the woods. And he spent so much time just slamming this idea. And at the time, my perspective was these things are upright walking hominids that we can't for some reason keep up with. And I'm going to crack the case. Like, I was in the mindset before I started podcasting, I don't think people really... They look at me as Tony the podcaster because that's what they know me from. But before I was a podcaster, on weekends I would go into the Appalachian Mountains by myself doing this. Like, yay. This is just what I did.
You're in the field.
That's what I did. I wasn't even a researcher. I was on a hunt for an experience.
Right.
I wanted to see this thing, and I didn't have kids, and I was willing to die by the hands of a Bigfoot if I died seeing it.
Yeah,
and so
that's dedication.
I was very dedicated.
Yeah,
so I would. I went to these conferences and I heard that and I agreed with it. I thought it was ridiculous, but I thought it was also very, very disrespectful how he was coming across. And to see the landscape change in almost 10 years since then to now, where a lot of people are looking at the topics and they're like, it's just not adding up, that this is just a hairy creature we can't keep up with and we should look at it as, oh, it's like the silverback gorilla. It's not. There's something. It's very interdimensional. And if you want to say that Bigfoot is, or these creatures are physical creatures that just only exist here in this plane, they're very natural, and we just can't, for some reason, we can't figure out why, but some reason we can't keep up with them, I'm okay with that. But you still got to say then there's that other people are encountering something that are similar to these creatures, but not the same thing.
Exactly.
Or these creatures, some of them have abilities that other of the same breed just don't have the ability of. There's ways to think about it, but to say that everything is 100% natural is kind of crazy. And I think that we're really moving into a new era of these topics where the general public is starting to come to the realization that there is way more than just Harry and the Hendersons out in the woods.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I love that. I love that analogy because you're right. There is. I mean, you know, you have to start thinking of the fantastic possibilities of these things. I mean, the Patterson-Gimlin film, I mean, that is legitimate. That is like, they were just there at the right time, man. They got that thing. And that was like, that's history right there. You know, and for anybody to say that's a suit or anything like that, look again, man, because it's like the musculature of the calves. There was, and then there was nothing of that sort back then, you know? So those kind of things are incredible. And yeah, and totally interdimensional, because again, you know, again, we're, you know, it, why are you seeing it? And then it's gone, you know, yeah. It's gone in an instant. You know, and I'll tell you, it brings me back to a, I'll tell you, I've had some crazy like stuff, but you know, I've always loved the paranormal, but I'll tell you the story. And, you know, you could take it for what it is. I call it my guardian angel story real quick, but, I was basically in 1997, on my way to a gig, and I was late. And this is November, I think, of 1997. And I'm going at a good clip down this back road, and it's dark because it's February. It's like, you know, and the gig started at 7 o'clock. So it got dark early. Anyway, I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden a deer runs out in front of me. Bam. And I hit it. And I'm like, I felt terrible. So I slammed the brakes on, and both the deer and I are sliding at like 60 feet together. And we come to this, because I was going at a pretty good clip. No one else is on the road. And we come to the stop. Car lights are on. The lights were on. It hit the hood more than the lights. It bounced on the hood, and then it was off. So I'm looking at this deer, and it's down, it's dead. And I'm like, feeling like crap. And in the headlights, I'm looking at this thing, and out of the woods behind me, in the dark woods, and I'm a piano player, a woman says, "How's your hands?" And I turn around, and here's this lady in white comes out of the woods, comes in front of the car. And you know, like when you're in front of the headlights, you can't really see that person. It's kind of like blurred a little bit. That's what she looked like. She was blurred. She bends down, takes this 200-pound deer, I kid you not, by the ear, and slides it off, and drags it off the road like it's nothing. And looks back at me and says, "You better get off the road." And I got back in my car, looked back, she was gone. And I went to the gig, told the guys what happened. They were like freaked out. So the next day I went back there. I'm thinking I'd see the deer. No deer. And I'm thinking maybe there were houses back there. Maybe there was somebody in one of these houses back there that spooked the deer, and that's how I hit it. But there were no houses, no nothing but woods. And So these things, interdimensionally or whatever, they happen. And that was, but I call that my guardian angel story. But then later on, Tony, I found out there is a lady in white that has been seen in Bucks County. It's like this ghost. And so I must have had that encounter with her. And my dad had an encounter with that like years prior, in like the mid 70s. My dad was like, he's not with us anymore, but back in the 70s, like, yeah, I'm going to say it. He was a partier. He liked to drink. He liked to do all kinds of stuff. But this night, he said he was completely stone sober. He got home, and we used to, if you're familiar with Bucks County, we used to live up in Upper Black Eddy, and we sat on right on River Road, and you could see the river right across from our house. And so he came home, sat on the porch, and had a little hibachi where he'd cook a steak. And he was cooking the steak one night, and he happens to look over on the river and sees this woman in white, like this white figure, like floating on the river. And says when it turned to look at him from like a quarter of a mile away, her face came right up to his. And then when she turned away, she went back like a quarter of a mile and floated back down the river. And he was like, just didn't know what the hell happened. And as she's walking away, the echoing in the valley, she's going, "I'm going home. I'm going home." And you could hear it echoing. Weirdest thing, man. And so, and then it turns out there is this lady in white that's been seen in Bucks County. There's a inn called the Black Bass Inn that's up in Lumberville. And there's a lady in white there that was, as she caught her husband with his mistress, and she wound up killing him and the mistress and herself. So who knows? Could it be her? But there's stories like that are all over. And that's one of the reasons why we love this, is because, you know, talking about these stories and about what's in our own backyard, you know, it's fascinating.
Eric, I could talk to you for hours.
I know, me too, man.
I could
man.
Talk to you for hours.
I know, we got to wrap one day, up.
No, I think one day, having you, when you're in Tennessee, we should have you swing through the studio.
Absolutely.
And we'll do something in person.
I'm there, man. And then when we come back, and if we're in Tennessee with my jazz quartet, you got to come out and hear us play.
Well, that's what I was planning on. I was thinking when you're in Tennessee doing music, I'll come out and
absolutely.
Listen. That'd be great.
It would be a great hang, man. That'd be great. What a pleasure, Tony, man. I really appreciate it.
Eric Mantel, investigates.org. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, brother. You have a great night.
Oh, that's awesome. Look at that. We got the fireworks. I love it. We're going to leave that in there. That's great. Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you'd enjoyed it. That's the best thing you can do to help this show grow. Share the show. Thanks for being here, friends. And until next week, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
They point their fingers at me. Sometimes I wanna scream. I can't fit within their kaleidoscope of what they want me to believe. But I can't fade to black. But I can't fade to black. It's all in the grey. Scales can't balance the white. Colors bleed out the fray. Black and white all the same. It's all in the grey. Scales can't balance the white. Colors bleed out the fray. Black and white all the same. I don't know if I lie to myself every time I say my family's on my mind. That don't mean I don't care. It's just sometimes I feel stretched thin, and I know that isn't fair. But I can't. But every time I do